Hi, Namaste, what's up, geeks? This is episode 115 of the podcast for the Desi Techie. And on other podcasts from Forcefire, it's been a Bollywood special this week. Attention Please with Arnab Ray had guest Dipta Kirti, and Arnab and him talk about Bollywood in the 2000s. And on Binge On, we look at evergreen Bollywood trope, love triangles. So head over to forcefire.net, that's the number 4, spire, spire.net, to subscribe and listen. And of course, here I am, we are back to WhatsApp Geeks, and I'm Vikram Mohan, and with me is, of course, Vijay. Hi, Vijay.
Hi, hello everyone.
Hey Vijay, so we are in the run-up to something big, but we do have a little bit of news to talk about. I don't think today's show would be too long, because I think the next episode will probably be very big. But so let's get right down to broken news. And the first thing is that the Pixel 4a, which was launched almost a month ago. More than that, right? When was the Pixel 4a launched?
Yeah, it was, I think, for a couple of months back.
So it finally launched in India, and there was a lot of hand-wringing on what would be the pricing which India gets. I mean, everything else was there. The Google Store had just listed coming soon. We knew it would list on Flipkart. So finally, coinciding with Flipkart's big billion day sale coming up later this week, they have launched it officially in India, the Pixel 4a. And the price is 29,000 rupees. And of course, there's only one model, which is the 128 GB, which is good. So what do you think of this? The phone has got very good reviews, as we discussed earlier. But what do you think of the India pricing, 30,000, so to speak?
Yeah, 30,000, I feel, is still on the little bit on the higher side. But at least they have got it down to a range where people can seriously think of getting one of these as their phone. So it's not like a ridiculous pricing that they had previously.
But yeah, I think
too many competitors who are equally or, you know, better spec the phones which are available at that price, particularly the OnePlus Nord.
Absolutely. I mean, but to put it in perspective, the Pixel 3a last year launched in India for 40,000 rupees. So this is a good 10,000 rupee less starting price in India. But like you said, the OnePlus Nord, and the Nord, of course, the base model, you have several options. Though the Pixel 4a is 128 GB, the basic OnePlus Nord, which is 6 GB RAM and 64 GB storage, that starts out at 5,000 rupees lesser. So that's at 25,000 rupees. And for the same price as the Pixel 4a, you get a 128 GB Nord. So how do you compare both of these?
I mean, spec-wise, hands down, you would go with the Nord, simply because, you know, you get a lot more. I mean, it's not just like a slight bump. Processor, of course, is a slight bump. You're still getting a better processor, which is actually on par with your Pixel 5, which is coming in a month or so.
High refresh rate display.
Yeah, high refresh rate display, and, you know, just the quality of the build and everything. I think OnePlus still better than.
Comparing the specs, the Pixel 4a is giving you a 5.881 inch OLED, whereas the OnePlus Nord has 6.44 inch AMOLED. Apart from that, of course, the Pixel 4a, like you said, has a Snapdragon 730G, whereas OnePlus Nord has the next generation 765G.
Yeah.
Then you get 6 GB RAM versus 8 GB RAM.
Yeah.
And what else? I think OnePlus Nord has 2 front-facing cameras. Pixel just has 1 front-facing.
And I think 765G means it is like also 5G compatible.
5G, which in India, of course, doesn't, I mean, big deal. We don't have 5G anyways. Shouldn't matter much. But again, in terms of even sheer battery capacity, Pixel 4a has 3,100, whereas OnePlus Nord comes with 4,100, which probably will be offset by
the high refresh rate screen.
High refresh rate screen, and also the the Snapdragon 765G, which is a 5G modem. So probably in terms of battery life, they'll end up, though it has, the OnePlus Nord has a higher battery, it probably won't make much of a difference. But true. Yeah, you do have warp charge versus 18, which is a 30 watt charging versus 18 watt. So just apples to apples in terms of specs, the Nord blows it out of the water.
Yeah, definitely. And
so what does the 4A have going for it? Apart from Google has promised 3 years of updates, which honestly is not very impressive.
Right. I mean, to me, the only two things that Pixels pretty much had going for it all the way is that one is, of course, always the camera quality. There's no beating the Pixel in terms of camera quality. And the second is, of course, the updates, which OnePlus actually has a decent track record in the for their recent phones of giving pretty much similar number of updates as Pixel. So that advantage doesn't really make a difference. But camera, yeah. So if you are okay to pay a premium just to get away, I mean, I would say significantly better camera, but everything else is better on the OnePlus, then it's a tough decision to make for the buyer.
True. And of course, just sticking on that, we will talk a little bit more about the Pixel 5, which was announced. But you mentioned about the Samsung's Galaxy S20 FE. What do you want to expand on that one?
Yeah, so this seems to be like a preemptive move by Samsung to kind of take the wind out of the sails for the Pixel 5 and also to combat have a more aggressive competition for the OnePlus 8. So they tried to do, checkmate both of them at the same time by releasing this S20 fan edition, which I feel that, it seems like actually, it should have been the actual S20 and instead of the S20 that we really got, because it basically keeps the best things that, the things that are likely to make be most useful for the buyers and, get it at a much cheaper price. And I think they have done a good job of sticking it out and pricing it. So its price seems to be priced exactly on par with the upcoming Pixel 5, which and the current OnePlus 8. With OnePlus 8, I feel it's like a close contest, and it's I would still kind of side with OnePlus because of their update track record as well as. They give slightly, I think, higher storage for the money that you pay. But for Pixel 5, I feel this fan edition S20 just basically blows it out. I have no idea what Google is going to do to convince people that their much lower spec the phone is worth the same price as a Galaxy S20.
And of course, if you're somebody who very recently paid good money for the actual Galaxy S20, you would be pretty pissed off at Samsung though.
Yeah, that's true.
We will of course cover a lot more about the Galaxy S20 fan edition with reviews as soon as they start coming out. But there is of course, we have to talk about the big event which is coming up in a couple of days. That's the October 13th Apple event where they don't talk about phones. They talk about speed. So, of course, we all know that it's going to be the main iPhone event. And rumors are right, and they usually are at this point, that we can expect 4 iPhone models. Now, before we get into the details of the models, what surprised me, Vijay, was that Apple till now has had a TikTok strategy, right? I don't mean the social network which was recently banned in Pakistan too, but they have the number, then they have the you have the iPhone 5, 5S, 6, 6S. So this was supposed to be the S year. So you are ideally supposed to have the iPhone 11S, but looks like they're bumping it up a number, and we should be getting 4 iPhone 12s, not one, not two. Last year, I think we had 3 iPhone 11s. We had the iPhone 11, then we had the Pro and the Pro Max. So this year, we're going to have 4 iPhones ranging from 5.4 inches to 6.7 inches. And for a change, all the iPhones, including the 5.4 inch one, it's supposed to have OLED displays and 5G. Oh, so what do you make of this, the new iPhones?
I think, I mean, I'm not sure if they still have, I think not all the models might have 5G. That seems to be a lot of speculation about whether the entry-level models will have 5G or they will continue to be 4G. But yeah, I think they seem to have done a complete redesign. I don't know what their reasoning was. I guess, you know, they didn't really, nobody anticipated the whole COVID pandemic and resulting situation and all that. But it's surprising that they basically decided to not do a S model for iPhone 11 and just directly, do an all new design. And I frankly like whatever renders have leaked so far are true. I think they have done a decent job with the new redesign. I like the new design better than what we have currently.
Yeah, absolutely. This is basically the going back to the iPhone 4 design, which has the flat sides, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's like a merger of the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 4 designs, basically.
So closer to the new iPad Pro. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And going by what we have seen on the new iPads, it also looks like Apple might be taking this as an excuse to kind of backtrack on their Face ID and revert back to a Touch ID, which we haven't seen any indication of it. But now seeing that on the iPad, they have put a fingerprint scanner on the power button, leaves me wondering whether, you know, that will be the same thing on the new iPhone models as well.
That's an excellent point, because like I said, for me, one of my biggest gripes with the iPhone 11 is that I practically cannot use the face unlock when I'm outside because of the mask. So I really do miss fingerprint unlock. And if they just had an optional fingerprint unlock, that by itself would be a great reason to go for it. But apart from that, of course, we will be bringing the news next week as it releases. But apart from this, we are also expecting to hear of an HomePod Mini. Is there anything that is there any point to releasing this? The HomePod has been a flop, right? I mean, as far as I know, even Apple fans don't seem to.
Yeah, I have never seen a single HomePod in the wild. I have acquaintances who are like an all Apple family, and even I don't know of anyone of them who have actually bought a HomePod. All of them seem to definitely have Google Home, and maybe some of them have even Alexa, but nobody seems to even consider HomePod as a viable option. So I think it's one of those products that has kind of never worked from the first time.
Right. And of course, the wild rumors also say that we might have a new Apple TV or Air Tags, which are small tags which you can attach to your keyring and other stuff, your wallet, and track it with your iPhone and with your HomePods. But we will see how those rumors pan out.
Yeah. I think I remember reading some articles that, you know, the AirTags might be delayed until later into 2021. So they might drop it from that event. I don't know about Apple TV, or we could possibly get a new one. And I think we should hear an update on the the new Mac
silicon
with the Apple silicon, the new Mac model. So at least I think they said that there should be at least one model available this year. So I'm suspecting we will hear something about that.
Do you think that might be the one more thing?
No, I think it's expected because they said that they will have one shipping during the holidays this year. So they have already committed to it. It's not something that will be a surprise. And, you know, the tagline for this event seems to be Hello Speed.
Hello Speed, yeah.
So I suspect that they would actually make that ice, you know, that new Apple Mac as a highlight of the show and show off like how faster it is compared to your Intel-based ones.
All right. So let's take a quick break now. On the other side, we'll of course be discussing the Google hardware event. So stick around. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. And of course, we've had a little bit of almost a week to digest the news from Google's rapid fire event, which happened last week. And so before we talk about what they announced, which I mean, what do you think of the event? It was exactly 30 minutes long and or 30 minutes short, I should say. And it was like bam, 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 bam. They just rolled out the Pixels, the Chromecasts, and Google Home or Nest and all. What do you think of the way the event was? Duration?
No, I think they could have taken a little more time. It was a little abrupt in the sense that the way they moved from one thing to other, it seems a little too quick. It almost seemed like, you know, one of those fast cuts that you get on the Verge.
Like a highlight reel. Yeah.
Yeah, the highlight reel where they, you know, chop quickly through all the different points in that presentation, and it's like, I don't know. I think they could have maybe made it like a 45-minute or even an hour-long event and taken a little bit more time to deep dive into some of those products. It just seemed very rushed.
Yeah, but what was annoying though was that even I felt the same. I totally agree that, you know, 30 minutes was way too small for all these products. 1 hour would have been good. But especially because they just had 30 minutes, I found the segment which was devoted to the Nest Audio, that is a new name for the Google Homes, very annoying, where they had some DJ or somebody and talking about the audio quality, because somebody talking to you about the audio quality just doesn't do anything for me. You are listening to somebody listening to the Nest Audio and telling me how rich it is or how spatial it sounds, but I'm listening to it on my TV or my phone. So there's no way I can appreciate what it is that they're saying. They could have made much better use of that time.
Yeah.
But okay, so since we are talking about Nest Audio, like, let's start with that. Let's flip things around. First of all, of course, almost everything was rebranded. So what was the Google Home is now known as Nest Audio, a name which honestly doesn't work for me, especially in India, because Nest as a brand is non-existent. So I don't know why they would want to do that. But
yeah.
It's already available in Flipkart, and it's $99 in the US and 8,000 rupees in India, which, I mean, yeah, going by the current dollar rate, not too much of a difference.
Yeah, that's surprising. I mean, and it's a good, pleasant surprise, not a nasty surprise, unlike most of the other pricing that Google does.
Google does.
It seems to be like, you know, very Amazon-like in its pricing. So I think that's one good thing they did. And even I don't agree with their rebranding of Google Home as Nest. It's not, even in the US, I think Google Home has a very strong brand recognition, and I think they will just lose that whole, whatever they have built up their brand recognition in.
The US. Brand equity.
Yeah. It just seems very surprising.
Yeah, some kind of home automation solution, let's say the cameras and all that, I'm fine with them calling it Nest. But the Google Home is a very core, intrinsically Google product. That's a Google Assistant built in. I mean, that's the way you interact with Google.
Yeah.
I don't say, hey, Nest. I don't say, okay, Nest. I don't want to use a trigger word because I have the home just sitting in front of me. But I actually say OKG. So I just don't understand the reason why they would call it Nest Audio. But in terms of what's new, the design is completely new. It looks nice. Definitely, even if, you know, just in terms of visual refresh, it looks totally different from what we have currently.
Yeah, it's more, actually, it seems more closer to the HomePod than any of the other devices.
Doesn't it look like a smaller version of the Google Home Max, which, you know, the big ass speaker which Google made?
Yeah, yeah. But it's a little bit more rounded.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I like the design, and I think I always felt that, you know, they should, the Google Home Max was always, you know, people used to rave about the
audio
sound
quality of it. Yeah.
And I was always wishing that, I wish they made that same kind of quality, but at a lower price. And I think this seems to, based on the description, it seems like that's what they have done. And
right.
That is true, then, yeah, it's really good.
So in terms of features, of course, there is nothing revolutionary. It's just that in the audio quality is better. It has better bass and better volume. But since it's just powered by the Google Assistant, whatever you get in your old Google Home would be the same. So it's not going to have anything extra, which I think it's good. I mean, these are, after all, appliances which just connect to the Google Cloud.
Right.
And since we are going reverse, yeah, next step, of course, we had the curiously named Chromecast with Google TV, which was Google's Android TV device. And the logical successor to the Chromecast, which was probably Google's biggest hardware hit. This also, I believe it's launching in India. So basically, this is a small dongle, just like the Chromecast was. And to put it more simply, this is Google's answer to the Amazon Fire TV stick, right?
Yeah. And one thing is, you know, unlike the Chromecast, this one requires a separate power source. So you need to still plug in.
It doesn't use USB power, you mean?
No, it doesn't use USB power. So it needs actually a charging brick that will be connected to the plug point. So that way, it's a little unwieldy compared to the original Chromecast. But I think for the capability that it provides, I think it requires that additional power. And I don't mind that, because anything which has the same features would have the similar kind of power requirement, any of the other competitors. But yeah, it's a long time coming. I mean, I think this is...
Absolutely.
You know, overdue.
Basically, this is, of course, it's got a remote, which is the big change, and it's capable of running apps, and it's not just a Chromecast. It's not a casting device. It basically turns your smart TV into Google Smart TV, or your dumb TV into a smart TV. But yeah, the reviews have been good. Price seems decent. If the Indian price is not yet announced, it's not yet available for order in India. $50 in the US, and I believe that already rumors are that it will be $10 discounted during Black Friday. So that's good to know. So if you're listening to this in the US, you might want to hold on, because it's almost confirmed that there will be a sale during Thanksgiving. And one quick thing though, is that remember we spoke about Google Stadia, which is their game streaming service. So the Chromecast will not be compatible with Stadia, and looks like later this year or earlier next year, there will be an update which will make it compatible, which doesn't really bode too well for Stadia as a service. But moving right along, the two big releases, of course, were the Pixel 5 and the Pixel 4a 5G, neither of which are going to be released in India. Google has confirmed that the Pixel 5 is not coming to India, neither is the Pixel 4a 5G. The Google's phone for India is going to be the Pixel 4a, which we spoke about earlier. Why don't you tell us about the Pixel 5 though?
Yeah, the Pixel 5, if you want to describe shortly, it's pretty much similar to a OnePlus Nord, except that it's priced a couple of $100 more. So yeah, I think Pixel 5 is like their way of addressing, avoiding the high cost that was associated with the the Snapdragon 865 in all the other flagships. So every other flagship that were released at the starting of the year ended up being like close to $1,000, and there were not many takers at that price. So Google, I think, decided to preemptively pick one of the lower end process or the mid range process to power their new Pixel. And I don't mind that they used a mid range processor, because as we have seen in the past, I think Google is very good at fine tuning the performance on Android to match the spec that they have. And even the Pixel 3a itself, still runs pretty snappily without any issues, and this would definitely not be a problem. But on my only problem I see is that the pricing, they continue to get it wrong, and $700 for a phone that is spec wise pretty much similar to the OnePlus Nord, which retails for like $400, so it seems highly overpriced. They should have been targeting the 500 mark rather than the 700. And if it was priced at $499, I'm sure it would have been a wild success. But now I don't know how many people will really think about it, especially when they themselves have put out a competitor for it, which is a 4A 5G, which gets you pretty much all the important stuff at a much lower price point.
True. And so this is priced at $700 in the US?
Yeah.
And even Google themselves, they didn't seem too enthused to talk about it. They didn't, they spent about a couple of minutes talking up the camera, but not really super selling it or something. The big change, of course, is that instead of the two lens, they retain the two cameras. They're not gone with the third one. But this time, thankfully, instead of a telephoto, they've gone with the ultra-wide lens, which, if you remember, last year they swore that that's not going to be useful. So this year they said, ultra-wide lens it is. And they have an aluminium body, which is good to see after all this glass sandwiches. So aluminium body, and somehow they managed to get wireless charging and even reverse wireless charging going with an aluminium body.
Yeah, very surprising, and that is another thing that I don't know if they needed to cover it. I mean, they should have gone into.
They should have. Apple would have definitely said, this is a revolutionary thing. We've made this work. They just glazed over it in one slide, saying that this is aluminium body and we have wireless charging.
So Apple would have put out a sizzle reel that shows like what the research they did, how many prototypes they came up with and all that, and finally arriving at this current final design and all that. It should have been much better presented. I think when you are charging a little bit of a premium over what a buyer would normally expect for a phone, you have to basically sell it hard. And I think they just seemed very uninterested in pushing it for some reason.
Like they say, you don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle. Which, typical of Google events, it was a bunch of engineers. There was, of course, a lot of diversity. I saw a lot of, ethnicities and women, men, which is, of course, a sea change from an Apple event. But the display again is 6-inch with one hole punch. Anything else we are missing in the Pixel 5? Of course. Now, all these features never made it to India, even in the Pixel 3. But the Google Assistant can now stay on hold. So if you're put on hold, you can tell the Google Assistant, stay on hold for me, and it'll do the waiting for you and let you know when the customer care or whoever is back on the other end. Which again, they should have had a small ad showing that off. Apple would have made an ad and shown how
they did that when they had that call screening thing. I mean, Sundar Pichai did a great demo of that, but
2 years ago.
So they knew how to do that, but they decided not to. I don't know why. It's just mind-boggling.
And along with this, they also released a refresh of the Pixel 4a, the 5G version of it, which sells for a good $200 lesser at $499. This also, like we said, will not be coming to India. But it's almost, it's closer to the Pixel 5 than to the Pixel 4a, isn't it? In terms of specs and everything.
Yeah, I mean, you are pretty much getting, I mean, if you, I don't know, most people may not care about wireless and reverse wireless charging. So if you are okay to skip that, pretty much the rest of it. And the aluminium body, of course, you know, it's something that not everybody insists on having that, especially if you are putting it in a case all the time.
It's got the same ultra-wide lens, the same processor.
Same camera, it's got the same, almost the same kind of a screen. And it's got, you know, the same processor. So it's pretty much, you get the cream of the Pixel 5, but for $200 less. So I don't know how they are going to position it.
All right. I think that brings us to the end of the Google hardware event and this episode. So that's our episode for today. And I'm sure we will have a lot more to talk about in the next episode. I'm sure of that, because we would have new iPhones to talk about and whatever else that Apple throws at us. So do check out the new slightly improved pages on foursquare.net. Now you have a lot more things to do. We have a discussion forum and we've also got blogs. So do check out foursquare.net. And until next time, take care.